Hello, world, and welcome to Shelley's Plumline. Truthful talk on tough topics, hosted by Dr. Shelley Stewart. Hello, Plumliners, and welcome to Season 6 of Shelley's Plumline. Shelley and I have been talking about changing the format of the Plumline for some time, so we thought today we'll give it a try. We call this format the back porch. Think of it as Shelley Unplugged. Today, Shelley and I are going to talk about instinct and that inner voice that guides us through our lives. If you're new to the show, Shelley grew up thinking his name was Shirley. When he enrolled in high school, he discovered his real name was Shelley. During the 60s, he developed the wildly popular radio personality, Shelley the Playboy, and he used the power of music to bring people together. But anyone who truly knows him knows that the man is a living legend, a drum major for justice, a successful entrepreneur, and a best-selling author. Shelley started broadcasting in 1949, and he has been on a journey to discover the truth for humanity ever since. And at 89 years of age, Shelley still sits down before the microphone as he pursues answers to tough topics, challenging us to change the experience of being human and our outlook on humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to present the oldest podcaster in the world. Get ready. Here comes Shelley.
People get ready. Have a train a coming.
Here's our first episode of The Back Porch.
Well, you know, we're in the backyard, so let's talk about it.
You can hear the machines in the background.
No problem with
They're cutting the grass.
No problem.
The dogs barking.
No problem with that either. No problem with that.
All right. So what is the back porch all about?
Well, the back porch is just all about back porch, back room, back life, whatatever.
These are the
It's a free-for-all.
This is Shelley Unplugged. The conversations that you've been wondering about straight off the top of our head.
Yeah.
So as I've been working on Shelley's story, the thought has come to my mind that, you know, Shelley had a difficult childhood, to say the least, and he came out okay. The thing I've always wondered is how come you didn't have any anger or bitterness about the thing?
I didn't have time. Honestly, Mark, I'm asked that over and over and over again. I was in somewhere in northern Florida a few years ago. A little boy, I was speaking there, and a little boy came out of the audience and ran to me. He was about 12 or 13 years old and said, "I've heard about you. I've heard your story. Why aren't you angry?" Yeah. I said, "I didn't have time. I never had time to be angry."
What were you doing that you didn't have time?
I was busy trying to do better in life. Mm-hmm. And you can't, in other words, a mule can't pull and kick at the same time. Hmm. You know, and if you're whooping on him and that mule's kicking and he can't pull. So I just took a life that I couldn't pull and kick at the same time. I wanted to pull myself up and get out of where I was. And I couldn't do that looking backwards, you know, at life. Although things were bad, but I didn't have time to just spend my days looking back at how sad things were.
Mm-hmm. What inside of you drove you? What was the spark that made you go forward and, you know, you said kept you busy? Well, what were you trying to do?
That was a song I can use. There's a something within me that holdeth the rain, something within me that vanishes pain, something within me I cannot explain. All that I know is there's something within. So I don't know what that something is. It was just as I wanted better. Mm-hmm.
In your book, you talk a lot about the voice and the voice of your mother guiding you. What was that something that helped you and led you in the right direction?
I didn't realize that there was something there, Mark. I do know that as a kid there in Rosedale, I do know that something just, my brother, Bubba, was there with me. And then once he left, and he didn't leave because he wanted to, he was seeking for something else too. Which I found out later before he went to the Korean was killed. But it was something that always accompanied me, and I didn't know it was there. That I walked away and went to an aunt's house, you understand, and then that same thing, and I didn't realize it was the mama, but to get up and walk away from Rosedale at, I was just not seven, I was turning seven September that year, and say, go. And I went walking and went across a mountain, Red Mountain, and went down downtown and made it down to First Avenue and 21st Street, if I recall. And she said, you went too far. You didn't listen. I stopped at the corner, and a lot of black women, Negro women at that time, were boarding a bus headed south. And she said, go that way. And I went back across. I just crossed that bridge. And I followed where she went. She said, some said, go this way. And I went that way, and something says to go this way. And lo and behold, I turned and went up around Red Money was, and I got into a circle up there, and it was a dead-end circle. And I didn't realize I was in a little circle up there. And it was a white dude and a young man, I guess upper teens or maybe young 20s. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I can't get out. He said, go that way. And I turned and went that way. So that voice kind of lit me, but I did not know was carrying me to my brother, Bubba. That same voice within me. So I didn't know it was mama. And through years and years, I never saw that until I was 14 years of age. I was in the outhouse at a backyard there in Cottageville. And this is a, you know, outhouse, you know what that is, don't you? And just about 150 feet away from there was a 30-foot street, and there was a street light there. And I was in the outhouse. It was like midnight, and very dark, but that street light up there from that backyard, from that, I could see it. And lo and behold, the door was open, but I was afraid sitting there. But I saw this lady up here, there under that light. And I, it scared me. And it was mama. Exactly as I saw her alive. And she said, don't be afraid, Shirley. This is me. I'll come again. I'll be talking with you. But don't ever be afraid. I'll be with you all the way. Just do not be afraid. I'm with you. And I got scared, and I ran into the house. So I saw that lady under that light. And since that time, I have not seen her under the light, but there's that voice within me that always challenges me when I would do wrong. And sometime that voice in me says, uh-uh, that voice. So it's that within me, Mark, that that does control that inner part of me, that I don't do well without, I don't make a decision unless I really listen to that time, that voice. There's a time, whether it's a business or, and I've done some things, I can tell you, in my life, I have made some stupid mistakes. But I knew better, but I didn't listen. I heard, but I didn't listen. And I heard mama more than one time. But I thought, oh, I can do that. And boy, I screwed up real bad on some things. So I had to correct those things. I paid for it. So therefore, I don't do things now in my life. Okay, I guess went off on that one. But yeah, mama, yeah.
How do we teach ourselves to? Couple thoughts I have for you is, you know, how do we teach ourselves to listen to that voice and to trust that voice? Because so many things nowadays are, they try to be so logically based, and hearing those voices, the instincts that we have within each other, within ourselves, that give us direction.
Well, there's two voices sometimes. That old demon is in there too now. So you have to get that one that, and with me, I know the difference, you understand? In other words, I know right from wrong, but I'll challenge, I'll listen to that right one. Mama's, I know that one. Mm-hmm. Now, if I just go away from it, then I know, well, I'm gonna take a chance on it. So you'll know.
It's funny that it's not always, to me at least, that voice that's right or wrong. When I was moving here, I never in my life thought I'd live in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Detroit. I went to Dallas for a while, and I moved here. And I think a lot of people were wondering why I moved here. But there was a voice inside of me saying to go here, to come here.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways it has led me to you, Shelley. And, you know, I did come to work for O2 Ideas, where your company and where we worked.
But you didn't know it was me, did you?
I did not know. You were briefly mentioned when in the interview they said, oh, yeah, there's this guy, Shelley. He's a silent owner or a silent partner in the company. He's amazing. He's this legend. I didn't know anything about you. And you were still on the air at the time. But again, there was something calling me to come here. And I think I told you this story that my daughter, I think, sort of sensed my tension that the day we were driving here. I was in the back seat of the van with her, and she's a special little special needs girl, and she just put her hand on my hand and she just patted me, and I think she was just saying, don't worry, Daddy, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, Mark, that's what I'm talking about, those things, you know. And you were here, I knew you were, I would see you. Mm-hmm. But I never said anything. I did not know anything about your background from being Detroit. I just knew you were a great guy and a great writer, a great creative guy. But I didn't tell you who I was. Mm-hmm. I would see you every day in the office. Mm-hmm. Oh, not every day, but I would see you often. Mm-hmm. But I would never tell you who I was, yeah. Would I?
No. You were the great mystery in the corner room.
I never did, because I saw your greatness and what you were doing as what you came here to do.
Oh, thank you.
And your family, woman. But something about you, and I struck back in the latter part of the 90s, I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I recall you asked me, says, can I write about you? Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you want to write about me?
Because you had a great story. And again, I think it's part of the story that we're sharing right now is that there's more to life than total logic. Mm. And, you know, I guess something related is, maybe this is off topic, but you hear people saying, well, I'm not going to go to college because that's a waste of money. And I'm not, you know, or I go to college and I get a degree and I end up working at a Starbucks. And I think people get the wrong impression of what college is that it isn't a trade school. It doesn't necessarily translate into an education that goes toward a job. It's about learning about life. It's about it's about becoming a better person, learning different cultures, learning different things in art class and things that you're not normally going to get throughout your life. So my education, funny enough, at the time, there was no advertising classes. There was nothing that really taught you that. It's a trade that I kind of learned myself. So what did I get out of college? I learned a lot about the skills of writing as an English major, but how do you translate to real life? And that applies to no matter what you do, whatever you're learning in college or school is, How do I use these skills to learn and grow?
Well, you're here talking with me, man. You're skilled. I can tell you right now. It's been years now. It's been what, over 20 years, over 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And we are talking today, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And we're working together today, aren't we?
Yes.
And, you know, that's what it's about, Mark, relationships.
Yes.
You came here. You did not know that I was a black dude at that time. Yes, knew that Shelley was an owner.
We thought you were a woman.
Oh, yeah, you thought I was a woman. Say, so Shelley.
Everybody does, don't they?
Yeah, they think I'm a woman. Yeah. Oh, Shelley, that's a woman.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah, so, but no, you find out I'm a dude, you know, and you find out I was a black dude, you understand? And I had fun with you throughout our 20 plus years now. And we're here talking now and doing the podcast here together. And it's not about, we talk about it, it's not about the money, it's about sharing what relationships are.
Right.
We talked about education, how that's important. And we're just trying to do things that to bring people together.
And it's about doing work that has meaning to you.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, this podcast, we're not in this for the money.
No.
We're doing it because we believe in sharing this message.
Yeah.
And getting it out there. And not only what we're saying today, but the message of what you said before.
Yeah.
And how it hasn't changed.
Yeah, it hasn't changed. Everything, yeah. Everything is, has been, everything has been.
What can
is.
We learn? Can we get better?
Yeah.
And make ourselves better. Back to that, you know, again, I hate to keep dwelling on anger, but why is there so much anger in society now? You know, people, and it seems to be our undoing. You know, our anger leads to stopping our communications with each other when we have different points of view. It leads to people shooting, you know, going in and shooting up a school or shooting up a, you know, we have angry, unhappy people. And how can we help people understand their anger and cope with it and become better?
It really, it has to, anger is really learned or taught. We're not born with anger. Most everything that we do is learned or taught to us. You understand? Mm-hmm. You know, when you were born, you did not know you were white. You understand? You knew you were a little boy because of what a boy it is. You understand? You didn't know anything about, but you were taught these things. You understand? Same thing with me. It doesn't make any difference. It's what we were taught and what we receive. You know, we are taught anger. We are taught I don't like me. And you look in that mirror, if you don't like me, you understand, then you don't like what comes with you. You see anything, you look, you know, you don't. So hatred within yourself, you're not satisfied with yourself. You're seeking for something that's not, you're not going to find whatever that is. You just live a good life each day. Love your fellow man. You know, I think we had a podcast. I'm seeing it happen over and over again. We're taught what colors are better, white's better, or black's not good. You understand? Those are taught or learned behavior. You understand? So men don't like this and women don't like that. We are taught these things. You understand? You shouldn't do this because of you, and I don't like to see you do that. So it's those things that's causing confusion, a ball of confusion. That's what it is. And we have to learn to just do the things that we know are the right things to do. And we really know right from wrong.
How do people get better at loving themselves?
By loving themselves. Yeah. Oh, that's a machine going out there, and we're in the backyard, and we can't stop them from letting that machine. But we can tell you this, you have to learn to be better by doing better.
Yeah.
You by doing better. You know, someone says, how do you do it? Try to hope, well, let me put it this way. If you're plowing a field, instant, plow the row first straight, the way you do it right, and I guarantee you the second will be easy.
Yeah.
So learn to do it right one time, and I promise you the next day it'll be easier to do the same
thing. That's good. And it's a choice, isn't it? So we have this noise in the background that we could be angry about.
Oh, come
on. And choose to be.
Yeah, but...
But we can choose not to be angry
about
it.
But listen, the message is the key. The message. The people are listening to the message, not the noise back there.
Yeah.
We hear the noise.
Right.
But the people are listening to the message. And it's the message. It's the message that they're listening to.
Yeah.
See, the noise has stopped.
There you go.
And the message is still here.
That's right, Shelley.
And that's right again, but the message is still here.
You can always be sure when you cue them, turn on the microphone, they cue the leaf blower, right?
Yeah, well, whatever.
It always happens blower, in their business.
Whatever it is, yeah.
That's right.
But enjoy yourselves with life. That's important.
Right.
Mark, this has been a great conversation with you today. I just enjoyed this one, man.
It is.
I think there's some great days ahead for us. We'll continue doing this, and hopefully there'll be some other great things we'll do together, partner.
All right, Shelley. I'll look forward to it.
Looking forward to it. Love you.
Love you too, man.
All right, brother. Goodbye.
Sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be
This episode of Shelley's Plumline was written, produced, and edited by Dr. Shelley Stewart and Mark Jamrise. It was produced by Stewart Production at the Plumline Studios in Sterrett, Alabama. If you are a fan of Shelley's Plumline and you like what we are doing here, please remember to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Give us a review and share this podcast with others. Follow us and continue the conversation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. This is Mark Jamrise. We'll see you next week. Keep sharing the love, and we'll all grow stronger.